We learn Taira. So Taira is Mubdal Mufrish. It's separate from any other Chachma. You have Taira on one side, and you have all other Chachmas on the other side. Taira is not on the same level as any other Chachma. There's no Sheikhs. There's no Tzadah Shava between Taira and any other Chachma. Because any other Chachma is down here on earth. All the Chachmas, and all the Tchumim, whether it's the sciences, the math, the sciences, biology, theology.
Scientology.
No.
Any technology.
Well, Scientology is also a Chachma, how to make money from Tipshim.
Nice.
These are all things that are that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created those Chachmas. So Hashem created those chachmas, and Hashem also created the Torah. What's taka the difference between them? If Hashem made all the other wisdoms, so then they're heilig. You know, Hashem made all the other wisdoms. Hashem made Torah too. So what's taka the difference? No, I remember that it's Baruch Hashem. It's before your time. But there was a tippish echad, a greiser tippish, a big tippish. That he advocated, he proposed that one should make Birchas HaTorah before learning secular knowledge also. Of us. Because it's also, Rebbeinu Shem made the Torah. And Rebbeinu Shem made secular knowledge. So Yemakir, the Kadosh Baruch Hu made the secular knowledge. Secular knowledge is also Kaddish. He was Mamashia, he was Ovid Avodah Zarah, he was Ovid Avodah Zarah of secular knowledge. He was a huge tippish. And there were many tippishim that followed him. And Baruch Hashem is no longer doing that anymore, wherever he is. He's not, he's over battle. But once upon a time there were ideologies in the world. You had to fight ideologies. Nowadays, everything's... The time of ideologies are gone. It's all Chemda and Taiva that we're fighting against. It's not like ideologies. You know, with Rahman Lotzan, there's an assignment for someone to take somebody away from the Derech HaYasher are not philosophical issues anymore. It's Pasha Chemda and Taiva. A guy goes to university, he's not deeply rooted. He's more likely to be dragged down by a destructive relationship than by what they're teaching in the classes. Stuck is there. But what's stuck in the answer? What is the response? Like that's ideologically, what is the response? The Teretz is the person did create Torah, Hashem did create Chachmas. Chachma Chitzonius. But Chachma Chitzonius and Kadosh Baruch Hu created in the 6 days of creation. That's when he made them. Hashem made all the sciences, all the wisdom of this world in the 6 days of creation. And he gave it to us. And it's all here. And it's all here. The entire repository of physical wisdom was created with the Bria. You know, the Chachma of geology was created at the same time as the rocks were created. The Chachma is the same age. And without rocks, the Chachma of geology doesn't really make too much sense. And what's geology without rocks? What's paleontology without scarabs? It's just, you know, it's Mekusha to the Bria. And it's finite. So even though there's a tremendous amount of knowledge out there, but conceivably... If one keeps at it, one could actually learn all there is to know in the physical sciences. It might take a long time, it could be done by a group maybe, they could divide it up. But eventually, one could master the totality of all the physical sciences. Because Hashem made it, he put it in the world, and it's here. Torah Kadosh Baruch Hu made, and Hashem didn't put it here. Torah is not here.
There are infinite ways to learn a ritzvah. There's not like three ways you learn a ritzvah, that's it.
It's infinite.
Even like one, it's every single point on Terra is infinite.
Yeah. Yes. It's infinite.
What do you mean Terra's not here?
Because Baruch Hu did not take the Torah and put it in this world.
Is it the Torah allowed by Shemayim here? Is it another thing?
Excellent. Torah allowed by Shemayim here is said in regards to Pesach Halacha. Amar Rabbi Shua Raglav, Rabbi Shua stood on his feet and he said Torah allowed by Shemayim here. There was a Pesach Halacha. And it was the Yachid Keneged Rabim, Rabbi Lazar was going against the Rabim, and the Torah itself says Achri Rabim Lahatis. So the guy Psak Halacha, there's a Psak Halacha, how you're supposed to act on earth. And the Psak Halacha, how you're supposed to act on earth, is Kavua, I'll be the Chachmei Torah. What they decide when they're on earth. And that's the Torah Lab Shemaim he is. But the Chachmei HaTorah, they become Chachamim. So they decide that the Halacha should be Tanish Shalach Noi. There was a Machlekes, whether a Tanner that was broken and put back together is Mekabel Tumah or not. Because Kiyadua, only a Keli is Mekabel Tumah. A broken Keli is not Mekabel Tumah. But what about a reconstructed broken Keli? There was an oven, it was shattered. They used some Gorilla Glue. That really was some stuffed Gorilla Glue. They used some Gorilla Glue. Now there was once a doctor, he opened up some crazy glue and he got some on his fingers and his fingers got stuck together. So he told his wife, help, I can't separate my fingers. So he said, what should we do? He said, read the directions on the side of the tube. It usually tells you what to do. So then the guy was a doctor. It says on the side of the tube, in case of contact with skin, consult a physician. He's got it. A Gorilla Glue. Where was Gorilla Glue? The Chachamim. The Depaskin on Tanah Shalach Nai was put together with Gorilla Glue. So is it a Keli because it's put together? It actually wasn't Gorilla Glue. It was Chol, or whatever, it was sandy material. If it would have been Gorilla Glue, it would have been a Keli. It was put together with some kind of temporary filler. They call it filler. And then Machlaikas, whether it's Mekabel Tumah or not, the whole Machlaikas, you have a Psak, how you fear Zuch on this Welt, on this world, Torah Laba Shemayimi. But the Torah that the Chachamim learned in order to arrive at that conclusion, that Torah was not in this world. So Torah Lav B'Shemayim is referring to the Pesach Halacha that you come at your arrival. The Maral says, every nation opposes Klal Yisrael for their own reasons. And Yavin opposes Klal Yisrael because Klal Yisrael is the Torah. Yavin, what Klal Yisrael is to the Torah Lahavdil, Yavin is to the wisdom of the world. Klal Yisrael, that they learn the Torah ad b'lisayt, that there's no limit, they keep learning as much as they can, and they keep going and going and going and going. And that's Klal Yisrael, that's their Geirul. And Yavin, their Geirul is the Chachma in the world, and they keep going and going and going and going, until no one knows it as good as they do. But the Chachma of Yavan is a Chachma, it's human wisdom. So it's the Chachma of Seichel Adam. They understand things on a level of a human being. Something that can relate to this world. They understand things on their level. They're very wise, they're very smart, very deep. But everything has to be understood on a basic level. Have you ever heard the expression "Ein mikra yetzer miyidei pshutai"? The pasha pshat of the bria. They understand the pasha pshat of the bria, and a lot of what they understand is emes. The Rambam studied it. The Rambam used it to understand. He used their chachma to understand the Bria, because their chachmas Bria was on the mark. It was chachma that the Rebbeinu created. The chachma in understanding the physical world. They understood it. And it's very valuable, but it's not Torah. Klal Yisrael has Torah, and Torah is understanding something that preceded the creation of the world, because that's the Ikar Nafkamina. The Chachmas Kitzanias were created with the world, Sheish Shemei Bereishis, and Torah was created before the world was created.
That's why it's called Rishon.
Reishis Darkai. Torah was created. The world was created Bishvil HaTorah Shnikra Reishis. Hashem created a Torah, which reveals things. And then Hashem created a world that the world is tailor-made for the Torah to be revealed. So the Torah came first. The Torah is called Reishis. Bereishis. Bereishis means Bishvil Reishis. Bishvil HaTorah Shnikra Reishis. If the Torah preceded the world, that means that the Torah has relevance independent of the world. The Gemara says the Torah was created 974 generations before the world was created. Now, what is a generation before the world is created? I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what a generation is. Before, there's no time. No time. Whatever it is, the Torah was created 974 generations before the world, and it was given 26 generations from the beginning of the world, and 974 plus 26 equals 1,000, and that's the pasuk of Davar Tziva Le'elav Dor. Davar is the Torah, Tziva God commanded Le'elav Dor, 1,000 generations before it was given.
I thought 1,000 wasn't a real number.
Well, 999 is a real number. 1,000 is to come back full circle. The number after 999 is Aleph or Aleph. That's what you're referring to?
Mm.
That's very good. That's where it comes. Everything comes full circle. David Siva Elabdor. So the Torah was created before the world was created, means it has relevance without the world. Whatever it means in the Torah, when the Torah talks about a cow, so whatever the Torah means by a cow, there's some kind of understanding, and the word cow, there's nothing to do with what we think a cow is, because the word para pre-existed. It was created before there was an actual animal called a cow. It's the opposite of what you would think. You think Hashem made a cow, and then Adam HaRishon looked at the cow and said, oh, that looks like a cow, so I'm going to call it a cow. Looks like a cow. And that thing over there looks like an elephant, so I'm going to call it an elephant. No. There's something called a para. There's something called a pei resh hei. With the comments under the pei, and the comments under the resh, and no vowel under the hay. And that thing is not an animal. It's a pei resh hay. And Adam looked at a cow, and he said, this cow has the characteristics, or the traits, or the essence. It has something in common with the letters pei resh hay. So I'm going to call the cow a para. But a cow is not a para. A para is a para. A cow is called a para because there's something in common with a para, but a cow is not a para. I mean, the Shalah HaKadosh says that about everything in this world. So we have it all backwards. When Chazal say that there's a fire in Gehenna, so you say, okay, listen, that's just a mushroom. We know what a real fire is. A real fire is fire. A Real fire is... is what they're doing in Baltimore right now. That's a real fire. They're burning down the city. The Chalayas are burning down the city.
Yeah.
Baltimore's getting burnt down. Yeah,
everyone's upset that they're...
No, they killed, they killed cops.
The cops apprehended someone and he died in custody.
Yeah, everybody's
burning. And now they're burning down Baltimore with real fire. But it's real fire. That's the real fire. Yeah. The real fire is what they're using to build out, to burn down the city. Yeah. And because they're so angry at how cheap their lives are, so that's why they're going shopping at CVS also. Because they feel... that they have to protect themselves from police brutality by shopping in CVS without paying for things. They're looting and smashing things because they have to protect themselves from police brutality. It makes sense on some level. They're just shopping bags full of stuff, coming out, breaking things, and lighting things up. They're destroying their own neighborhood and pulling things out. Just because this way the police, they'll be protected. Maybe they'll take all the things they bought and build a wall around them, make a pile of stuff from CVS. But they had a picture of a guy walking through the streets with bags of stuff from CVS because of police brutality. But that's the real fire. Now, when the Gemara says that in Gehenim, there's a fire in Gehenim, so we don't know what that is. That's not real fire. We're just calling it fire because it consumes or it destroys, so we're going to call it fire. But the real fire is here. The Shalom says no. Nishtazay, it's pumfaket. It's just the opposite. Eish is Eish. And Eish, the ikatsur of things, is not the way they're in this world. This is the Elam HaSheker. There's nothing in this world that appears the way something really should appear. Everything in this world, you can be fooled by things in this world. There's nothing in this world that looks like the emesis. There's nothing in this world that looks like the tzura amitis of the world is. Nothing, not a single thing. Anything you see in this world, anything. A blade of grass, a concept of color, an equation, anything. Anything. Your first impression of what it is going to be unavoidably, automatically wrong. There is nothing in this world that doesn't lie.
You mean Ruchnius?
No, Ruchnius is not the first impression. A Yid knows this, and we don't trust our first impressions.
You know, even a para is not a para.
Right, we learned every Torah. And we learned every Torah, we learn how to view the world not the way we see it with the physical eyes. We don't view the world the way you see it with the physical eyes. The Torah teaches us reality. My Rebbe, Rabbi Gifter Zichron Livracha, used to always tell us, he used to always talk about the Torah's spectacles, the Torah's brillen. In Yiddish, glasses are brillen. Beis, Reish, Yud, Lamed, Yud, Nun. Brillen. Brillen.
No ions in there?
Maybe. I really don't know how to spell in Yiddish.
G.
Brillen, yeah.
Probably.
Brillinnx. Ech. Probably an ech at the end, right? Brecher. Chaimotche. Brecher. Brillen. Yeah, yeah. Chaimotche Brecher is Brillen. Okay, are you satisfied? Actually, there's, he said, you think that we know what the difference is between life and death. We don't know the difference between life and death. After a behemoth is geschachten, so it prances around. They have in the Schlachthausen, they don't even know. The Schlachthausen, an animal after it's geschachten, it could run around even. They stay far away from it. It's very powerful afterwards. They have to stay more, even more. And there's dinim. The dinim, it's also for a yid to eat eva minachai. It's also for a yid to eat a limb from an animal that was ripped off the animal once alive. For a guy, it's also also eat eva minachai. It's one of the seven mitzvahs b'nayach. So for a yid, it's also, and for a guy, it's also. If someone rips a limb off a live animal and eats it, they're eva. Whether they're a yid or a guy. But after Shechita, if someone separates a limb from the animal and eats it, it's not even a chai. But the animal's jumping, it's dancing. that he shafted it. He shafted it as dead. Because the Torah says the definition of death is shkita. V'zavachta v'yachalta. Once you shecht it, you can eat it. The same Torah that says you can't eat Eivim Menachai. It's a mathematical equation. Torah says you cannot eat Eivim Menachai. Okay. Then the Torah says if you slaughter it, you can eat it. Ipso facto, that means it's dead. You cannot eat Eivim Menachai. If you slaughter it, you can eat it. And it doesn't say you have to wait. So the Torah is telling you it's dead. Now your eyes tell you it's alive. But it's not. The Torah says it's dead. You don't know what death is. The Torah knows what death is. You judge death by the superficial cook of the superficial perspective of the eye. Don't do that. Train yourself to look at death, life and death, the way the Torah sees it. But for a guy, if a guy takes the same animal, like you ripped off the right, leg, and then the guy rips off the left leg, and you eat the right leg, you're not eating Eivim Menachai. It says v'zavachta v'yachalta. It's dead. But it doesn't say v'zavachta v'yachalta to the guy. The Torah wasn't given to the guy. So when's it dead for Gaim? When it starts moving. So he's Eivim Zayin. You're eating at the same table. Sure. Eating at the same table. And when you get up, so you go back to doing whatever you're doing, and Bezer slaps him away and kills him. Because it's dead for you. It's not dead for him. Is that a weltliche cook? Is that like a worldly? Is that an Eilam Hazadik way of looking at things? Could you explain that with the chachma of this world? Could the wisdom of this world possibly explain how an animal can be alive for one person and dead for another person? And not like it's alive and like it's dead. Really alive and really dead. For a guy, it's really, 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 really alive. For a yid, it's really dead. And it's not a stira because on the level of what Torah is, these things are not steers. They're only steers because we have mental chaseichel. The Gemara Nedarim says that Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Shemayim for 40 days. For 40 days he was learning Torah. What was he doing those 40 days? Kalaisim yamam ha'yalayim et Torah m'shakcha. He was learning Torah and forgetting it. Learning Torah and forgetting it. Learning Torah and forgetting it. Why was he forgetting it? Didn't do enough chazor. He has a lousy memory. What's that? Why was he forgetting it? He was forgetting it because Moshe Rabbeinu was a human being. And the Torah is chachma, which has nothing to do with human beings. You can't put Torah, which is not human, inside of a human being.
Why did Hashem make him do it the first 39 times?
I mean, let him do it a couple times and then give up. Then the Gemara says, Acha nitlai bir matana. Then Hashem Baruch Hu gave it to him as a present.
Shlomo HaMelech got me quicker.
Shlomo HaMelech got it without even trying. Shlomo HaMelech got it as a schar.
Like Moshe got it?
He woke up with it, so I don't know what happened in the night, but by Shlomo HaMelech it was a schar. And by Shlomo, there's enough gemina between what Shlomo HaMelech and Moshe got, because Shlomo HaMelech got understanding and Torah that was already given. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who, the bridge who brought it over. Shlomo HaMelech got the capabilities of understanding the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu already got.
Still didn't understand Paradim.
He still didn't understand Paradim.
Did Moshe?
No one.
Moshe did.
Why was Moshe so impressed with the Reiki?
The Gemara Menachos says that Rabbi Kiva was saying over Torah to his Talmidim that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know.
Moshe was the bridge.
This is something that, if you really want to talk about that for a minute, there was a group of the New York Board of Rabbis, a group of conservative rabbis. They put out a full page ad in the New York Times with that Gemara. Moshe ben Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, writing the little crowns on top of the letters, and they don't mean anything. I mean, the word is there with the crown or without the crown. All the drushes that the Gemara makes are with the crown or without the crown. If it's an extra letter, make a drusha from it. If it's the same letter somewhere else, make a drusha from it. If it's a Kal V'Chaimer, make a drusha from it. If it's written next to each other, make a drusha from it. If it's a Tzad HaShav, make a drusha from it. Don't make drushes. What are those things on top there for? You know, they never made a difference to us whether there's a thing on top there or not. If we're going to make a Gzera Shava, or a Kal V'Chaimer, a Binyanav, or a Hekesh, or a Smuchin, what are they there for? You don't need them. You don't learn anything from them. So Hashem told Moshe that they're for Rebbe Akiva. There's going to be someone. Hashem told Moshe, from your time until Rebbe Akiva's time, no one's going to understand what these things are. 1,000 years, no one's going to understand. Well, 1,500 years. But Rebbe Akiva, he's going to figure out what they're for, so I'm putting them there for him. And I'm going to show you. Moshe showed. He showed. Moshe Rabbeinu Rebbe Akiva giving share, and Moshe didn't understand what Rebbe Akiva was saying. And Moshe told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have someone like Rebbe Akiva, and you give him the Torah through me, give the Torah through Rebbe Akiva. And he had Chalish Hadas. He was faint. He felt faint. Chalish Hadas. Until the Talmidim asked Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe, where are you getting this from? And Rebbe Akiva said, Alacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Everything I've told you there, I got from Moshe. So the Kasha, if you got it from Moshe, so how come Moshe didn't know it? So Zuck the conservatives, they put this Gemara in the New York Times, it's a whole page ahead. So you see, no, they didn't quote that last line. They quoted the Gemara up until the point that Moshe didn't understand Rebbe Akiva. And then they stopped. You see, the later generation, someone could come that knows more or knows Torah better, understands Torah better than Moshe Rabbeinu.
So crumb.
Hold on.
Well, besides the fact that it's crumb, it's rishis, because they knew the next because they knew the next line, and the Bedavka didn't put it in there. So that's downright misleading. That's crumb.
So Moshe didn't know what
they meant. No, but he still had the Moshe of the Kasha. Because the Gemara said the Moshe knew it, but Moshe said he didn't know it.
At that
point it is. So look at Rashi. Rashi says that at that point Hashem hadn't taught it to Moshe yet. At that point when Moshe saw Rebbe Akiva, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu a Nevuah of someone that knew Torah. That was handed down to him through Moshe Rabbeinu, but at the point Hashem showed him the Nevuah, Moshe hadn't learned it yet. And then later on in Moshe's life,
so then what was the point of the Maisa?
The
point was the Moshe knew it, and Rebbe Akiva was a big Talmud Chacham.
Right. There's more to the Maisha than it would seem, because even if Maisha knew it, he wasn't the one to be Megalit. The Torah was given to Maisha for one reason, to hand it off to Rebbe Akiva, and Rebbe Akiva is going to be Megalit. That's the point of the Maisha. Torah is not a human Chachmah. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made the Chachmah of the world, and of course, Baruch made Chachmas Satera. But there's Chachmas Satera on one side, and all the Chachmas on the world on the other side, and all the Chachmas on the world are all physical sciences, and they're all finite, they all have a limit, and they all have a purpose. There's like a technical purpose to it. You need Chachma in order to survive in the world, so you have to know a certain Chachma in order to do your job. It's practical knowledge. And there's a limit to it. And the Torah is a totally different thing. It's Lamala. And the fact that we're able to learn Torah down here doesn't make any sense. It has to be explained how we're able to do that. You know, it's a pala, because imagine my Rebbe Gifter at the end of his life. He didn't lose any of his asmada. He would come to the Beis Medrash. He was learned by Smarter Rabbi exactly the way he did his entire life. He wasn't well, he was feeble, he'd walk with a walker, but when he learned, and when he said it, the same freshness, the same exuberance, with the same energy, when he learned, he was alive, even when he was very, very old. But he would learn an Amar Gemara with a simcha, he'd enjoy it, he was enjoying it, he was learning it, he was really learning it, he was happy enough from learning it. And then he would forget everything that he had just learned. And he knew what was happening. He was totally in control of his, mind. He knew what was happening. He learned, and he didn't retain anything of what he learned. So when he opened up the Gemara, it was like he was learning it for the very first time. And then he opened it again to go over it. It was like he was learning it for the first time. I can't even describe what it was. He described it. The last time I visited him, he was telling me about this. And they told me when I went to visit him that he doesn't even recognize some of his closest friends and people. Like, he doesn't, sometimes he doesn't talk to people, he'll just be silent, he'll talk to me, won't answer. There's no light of recognition in his eyes. I came from Eretz Yisrael, and then I went to Chicago, and then I went from Chicago to Cleveland. I was there for 1 hour just to see him. And I would have been very, very... we're disappointed doesn't convey what I would have been if he wouldn't have recognized me. But they prepared me. My friends prepared me. I knocked on the door of his house like I always did, just like the good, knocked on the door, walked right in. And he was sitting at the head of his dining room table. And he looked up and he says, "What are you doing in Golis?" About it. I asked him some shilas. Sharp. The Rebbetzin thanked me. So I was there for 45 minutes. He was schmoozing. He was talking. He was talking for 45 minutes. He was enjoying it. And the Rebbetzin thanked me for coming because she wanted people, some people came. They didn't bring that out. It was a chesed elyon. He was brought out, and he was enjoying it. He was talking like the good old days. And that's why, because he met someone from the good old days. He brought it out. But that's when he told me he said, in our lives, we're willing to give the Rabbi Hashem credit for certain things. But there's other things they say, the Rabbi Hashem doesn't do that. We do that ourselves. And he says, it's such a deep one, I don't understand it, but I'm going to tell it over to you. He said that we think that the Rabbi Hashem can make good things happen to us, and he can make bad things happen to us. He can make happy things happen to us, and sad things happen to us. Really sad things. But then when we react, when we're sad, that's us doing it. When we react, when we're happy, that's us doing it. Because Rabbi Hashem controls events. He created us. He runs the world. He controls events. But the way we react, our reactions, that's us. And he said, it's not true. He said, the Rabbi Hashem could do chasadim with us, or he could take away his chasad with us in the way we react to things. He said, by any definition, He said this. By any definition, I should be a miserable person. Because all I'd love to do is learn. And I'm learning, and I'm learning, and I'm learning. And after I finish learning, I can't remember. I learn Amud Gemara, and I look at the Amud, and I don't remember learning the Amud Gemara. And I should be the most miserable person on earth. Because I'm not retaining anything I'm learning. He said, I can't explain it. He said, I'm Mali Simcha. Those are the words he used. I'm Mali Simcha. I'm filled with Simcha. And I'm enjoying it. And there's no point. He said, there's no point. Because I'm not getting anything from it. I'm not remembering anything. So why am I Moli Simcha if I know that I'm accomplishing nothing? He says, that's because Rabbi Hashem had Rachmanis on me. He took away my memory, but he didn't take away my Simcha. He said, Simcha doesn't come from us. Simcha comes from Rabbi Hashem. And when we're happy, he's giving us Simcha. And when we're sad, he took it away. And there's no connect, you know. And even though I should be sad, but he didn't take it away. So I have it. He said, there's no other explanation for it. The Bashem didn't take away my Simcha. He took away my memory. He didn't take away my Simcha. So deep, so hard to understand. It's like, Bashem took away his memory, didn't take away his Simcha. Because Simcha's a thing. It's like an object. You know what I'm saying? It's a, the way he talked about it, you know. He took away my money, didn't take away my health. You know? It's the kind of Simcha is either you have it or you don't have it. No. He says, Mali Simcha. He's able to learn. What does he care if he remembers it or not? What does he care? He loves to learn. He's learning. That was the last time I saw. The Yevanim, they're misnagged to Klal Yisrael. Their opposition to Klal Yisrael. Their opposition to Klal Yisrael is that Klal Yisrael shouldn't have something in this world that you can't have. The Yevanim, they would love to have wisdom that's not from this world, but they can't because they're in this world. They don't have access to it. Somehow or another, Klal Yisrael has access to it. The Yevanim don't, so that Klal Yisrael can't have it. They don't want Klal Yisrael to be in the... Klal Yisrael, the misnagdus of Yevan to Klal Yisrael is the misnagdus to the Havdalah, you know. Mavda m'kedesh l'chob and arlo cheshik ben Yisrael amin. There's a Havdalah between Yisrael and Amim. What is the Havdalah between Yisrael and Amim? That Amim are self, they're contained within this world. They can't break out of it. The world is a prison. That's their environment. They could collect things. They could amass things. They could understand things. But everything has to be in this world. You put someone in a mansion, a big one, a big room, a huge room. It could be the size of a city, you know? But it's locked. And said, anything you want in this you could have, but you can't leave. That's the Goyim. And Klal Yisrael, they could open the door and go out. And keep going, and keep going, keep going. The Havda between Klal Yisrael and the Umais is that the Umais are restricted to everything that was created in the 6 days of creation. And Klal Yisrael has no restrictions. It's mamish like there's no tzad hashava between Klal Yisrael and Umais, and Yavon wanted to wipe out. That's why they didn't. That's why they didn't destroy the Beis Hamikdash. The Babylonians. What the first thing they did when they had power over Klal Yisrael is they knocked off the Beis Hamikdash. The Persians they didn't destroy the Beis Hamikdash. You know why the Persians didn't do it? Why didn't the Persians destroy the Beis Hamikdash?
It was destroyed.
Because it was already destroyed. And you see how hard they fought to keep it destroyed. For those that learned Megillas Esther, how hard they worked to keep it destroyed. It should stay destroyed. So even though they didn't destroy it, but they kept it destroyed. The Romans, what did they do as soon as they took over? They destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. The Yevanim, they're the only ones. The entire time, the Klal Yisrael and Gauls with the Romans, with the Yevanim, with the Greeks, they didn't destroy the Beis Hamikdash. You know why? Because if they keep the Beis Hamikdash around, and they bring in a pig, and the Metama, all the oil, that's all the things they did. So then they're saying, there's no difference between Tahar oil and Tamar oil. We'll bring Metama, it looks the same. Burns nicely. Doesn't it burn nicely? Take the Tamar oil, see if it burns as nice as the Tahar oil. It was the second Beis Hamikdash. It was there were no Nisim in the second Beis Hamikdash. They wanted to keep the Beis Hamikdash alive, to keep it around, to show that it's just a building like any other building. And the Avodah there is the same as in their churches or their place of Avodah Zarah. And the lights are the same lights. And if they destroy it, they won't be able to do that. So they were using them. They wanted it around because they were using it. And the two things that they were against were, you know, the Beis HaMikdash they defiled, and the Torah. They made gzeiros against learning Torah. The Moral explains, whatever we said about the Torah, that's not in this world, but the Beis HaMikdash is in this world. The Torah exists in the minds of those who learn Torah. And when we say it exists in the minds of those who learn Torah, we don't mean it exists within the cells of the gray matter of the brain. It was programmed in there somewhere. You know, and if you hook up some electrodes to the brain, you could download some vasectus from there. It's not there. It's not there. It's not going to happen. It's in the minds of the Lamedei Torah. The mind of a person is not in this world. The mind of a person, the thoughts of a person, thoughts cannot be measured, thoughts cannot be sensed, thoughts cannot be detected by any physical means available. Do you know why? Because thoughts are not here. Our thoughts are not in this world. Our bodies are here. Our thoughts are not here. When we learn Torah, the Torah is in our minds, and Torah still is not in this world. It's connected to this world, but it's not in this world. Because it's in the mind of a person, and the person is in the world. But the avodah of learning Torah is learning Torah with the mind, with the brain, with the mind, with the soul. Beis HaMikdash is very much in this world. But the Beis HaMikdash is a bridge. Because it's the holiest thing that this world has, is the Beis HaMikdash. And there's things that happen in the Beis HaMikdash that can't be explained by the rules of this world. The Beis HaMikdash is the bridge between this world and the Torah. You have this world the Torah can't be in. You have the Shemayim where Torah is. And then you have the Beis HaMikdash that has elements of Shemayim and Aretz. It's the highest level of Aretz possible. It's a level of Aretz which is similar to Shemayim. It's gold. It's marble. They took marble. It was gold, marble, material. I mean, the only material in the whole Beis HaMikdash which was not from this world that are broken pieces of the Luchos. But the box that it's in is gold from this world. That's got a very good point, you know. The broken pieces of Luchos inside of the box is the place where this world connects with the other world, because you have the physical gold, which is the highest level of physicality in the world, that it's actually physical, but it has properties of something that's outside of this world. It doesn't take up space. The iron doesn't take up space. So it's physical, but it has properties of something spiritual. And then you have the stones of the Luchos, the broken ones, the first ones, that's 100% spiritual. But it has properties of the physical. You cup? Hashem made those stones special. They weren't from Sheshi Shemei Bereshis. The stones of the Luchos were made by Matan Torah for Hashem to write it. Hashem made those special, and then he gave them to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem did not take the stones from a rock quarry, write it. So the stones that the Luchos Rishonis were engraved on are spiritual with physical properties. They can be held. They can be seen. They can be dropped, right? And the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash is physical with spiritual properties. So that's the meeting point between the two. So that's how Torah comes into this world. Torah and Mikdash. Okay, Mitzvah Shem will continue. I'm in the middle of Indian.
Which Rav Gifford said. sounds like the